All right, so let's get to know one another a little bit. You know, we have some guests among us, some folks who aren't normally with us, some people that, come because they're with family, and so we don't know each other that well, so we should play a get-to-know-you game, right? So just turn to someone near you and share, would you rather have superhuman eyesight or superhuman hearing? I'm just kidding. You don't need to do that. Who here loves group building activities? Anyone? Okay, let me say again. So, it's like the human knot. You ever done the human knot? If you have not done the human knot, it's an experience. Or how about the four winds blow? That's where one person goes in the middle of the circle and they say something about themselves. And then everyone who also shares that same thing has to get up and switch seats. And so then there's a new person in the middle. Or how about two truths and a lie? Come on, you've all played two truths and a lie, right? Where you'd say two of them and people have to guess which one is the lie. So again, who loves group building activities? Thank you, Deacon Doug. And who hates group building activities? Yes, I could have guessed that one, in fact. Thank you, Rebecca. You know, I love them. I love them in theory. And then sometimes in practice, they can be quite painful, like the time it took 3 hours for us to complete the task to figure out how to work together. Maybe you all are familiar with one of those grouping building activities we do at probably at least every other youth retreat. It's called the trust fall. Are you familiar with that? The trust fall. By the way, you can do this in pairs, or you can do it with a whole group. And with just a pair, of course, one person closes their eyes and they fall, and the other person catches them, right? So they can't fall all the way. That's why it's a trust fall. Right, you have to trust the person is going to catch you. If you do it in a group, you have the whole group surround you as tight a circle as they can make, and then they gently push you around the circle. What I have learned from this activity is don't trust middle schoolers. Yep, it's not a good idea. There is this one video that I watch every few years, because again, trust falls are just kind of a staple of youth ministry. And this video is very funny because it's the two people doing a trust fall, and the one person says, "All right, are you ready?" And then they say yes, and their eyes are closed, and then they move to the back of them. They were on the side of them. They move to the back of them, and then they fall forward and just completely face plant. I shouldn't laugh, but it's just so funny, right? And I think this person who was supposed to catch them, not to be trusted. They did not give clear instructions as to which direction they were supposed to fall. And so I wonder this morning, who do you trust to catch you when you fall? In your life, is your sense of God and the power of God in your life substantive enough that you can trust God when you fall? Are there relationships in your life? Are there people that you can depend upon that you know will stand up to the toughest challenges, to the worst crises? Or do you admit that today you find yourself, at least sometimes, free-falling? In this version of the Easter morning story, the only thing keeping these women moving is that they have a job to do, right? This is a job that all of you who have lost a dear loved one know something about. It is the job of caring for the body. It is the job of doing the to-do list, preparing for a funeral. And so these women come to care for the body, to do what needs to be done. They might be free-falling in their grief, but at least they can go through the motions, right? Work through their grief. And then when they show up at the tomb, they do not encounter a dead body. No, instead, They encounter two men in dazzling clothes. And the women are understandably terrified. But these two angelic beings say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And of course, you all know, they were not looking for the living, right? They had no expectation that they would find anything alive in that tomb. They were merely looking to bury their grief in diligent care for the empty shell of Jesus. Do you ever find yourself doing that? That the things that you're doing, you have no great expectation that you'll find anything good in them. And so you simply bury yourself in busy work, or in binge-watching TV, or in shopping, or in video games. You don't honestly expect to find any great joy or fulfillment there, but it's just something to fill the time. Or maybe you get so caught up in whatever it is that you do, in fact, trick yourself into thinking it is meaningful and life-giving. Maybe you see the latest and greatest dumpster fire in our world today, and you decide that any effort that you could make to oppose it is futile. And so instead of feeding or serving or calling up your elected officials, you participate in the well-honored 21st century tradition of doom scrolling. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, I am aware that here on Easter Sunday, people come to church for all kinds of reasons. It might not just be to rejoice in the good news in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but because it's important to your family, or because the music stirs something deep in your heart, and you don't know what it is, but you know that you long for it, or because there's an Easter egg hunt for the children. And that's okay. I hope that we have made it crystal clear that no matter what brings you here, no matter what baggage you carry with you, you are welcome in this place, no matter how strong your faith or how uncertain your faith. You are welcome here. But listen again to the story. The women find an empty tomb, hardly proof of the resurrection. Rather than a body, they find these two dazzling people who tell them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." In other words, they say this is not new information. They should have expected this. They were told this was what was going to happen, but when they were told by Jesus, it made no sense to them. It made no sense to them. And so only now, when they are reminded, when they see the empty tomb and these angelic creatures, only now do they start to understand what Jesus meant. Jesus is, in fact, alive. So they go tell Jesus' disciples, which is what they are supposed to do, right? They're supposed to go pass on the good news of the resurrection. And of course, the disciples don't believe them, but rather thought it was an idle tale. Of course they do. It was too good to be true. But Peter has at least enough hope in his heart that he runs to the tomb to confirm, to see for himself if what the women have said is true. Now, we have no empty tomb to run to this morning. So where do we turn to? In what do we put our belief, our trust, our hope? Where do we turn for meaning, purpose, joy? Well, I think you know you're not going to find it on the TV screen or the computer screen. We turn. You all know what the answer is, right? What the pastor is going to say. Where do we turn? We turn to God. But not only to the God who created the heavens and the earth, who is beyond our understanding, but to God incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived and breathed, who fed and healed, who taught and who wept, who died and rose. And we turn to the body of Christ alive in the world. In fact, over the next 6 weeks, because you all know today is not just Easter. Easter is 50 days long, because one day is not long enough to dwell in the joy and hope and celebration of new life. And so over the next 6 weeks, we move beyond the empty tomb and we hear the stories of Jesus showing up. Jesus, the resurrected one, showing up and showing his hands and his side, showing what it means to live as disciples, to live as followers of Jesus. And we ponder where and how Jesus is alive in our world today and keeps showing up. God is alive. In the family meal that you share, perhaps too rarely, in the reunion of old friends, and in the forming of new relationships, in serving at Loaves and Fishes on Saturdays and reading with children on Wednesdays, in prayer requests that are shared in small groups and in Bible study, in voices joined together in prayer and praise. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for purpose and meaning in life in so many of the wrong places? Fall into the arms of a loving God, an imperfect community, a life that is full of opportunities to witness new life. Welcome to the resurrection life. Awaken again to the joy of living. In Jesus' name, amen.